Howdy, folks. Welcome back to the Emerald Archer Podcast. I'm Ed.
And I'm Nick, and this will be our first milestone. This is episode number 5. And apparently, Ed does not think that is a milestone, but I think it's a milestone myself. Milestone, milestone, milestone.
Okay.
You know, milestone, milestone.
I'm just used to thinking, like with comic books, bigger numbers are milestones. 25, 50, 100.
Oh, you have to start out small.
Well, yeah.
5, 10, I'll probably do
20. 12 episodes, if we were doing one a month, that would be a milestone because it would be a year.
A year.
You know, stuff like that. Just, but yeah, 5 can be a milestone. That's cool.
I now declare it a milestone.
I can go through the comic book podcast wiki and pull you out all kinds of podcasts that ended before going 5 episodes. So, it's, you know,
so
it's
at least we
number.
Made it to that milestone.
Yeah. Just a word to the wise, we are a spoiler podcast. Probably not too big a deal this episode because we're talking about Adventure Comics 252, which came out in 1958.
And if that spoils something for you, then you have a lot of catching up to do.
You need to catch up a little bit. World's Finest Comics 98 and 99. All three of these are from 1958. Now, of course, the Adventure Comics is the 1938 volume, and the World's Finest Comics are the 1941 volume. But all of these issues that we're talking about are coming out in 1958. First up is going to be World's Finest, issue 98. The Green Arrow story is the 6th story in the book. It came out in December 1958. It was titled The Unmasked Archers. Script was by Ed Herron, probably with assists by Jack Kirby. And again, you know, a lot of this older stuff, people aren't necessarily clear about it because those creators are not around to ask anymore, and even if they were, they probably were forgetful by this time anyways. So.
See? That was me saying yes in Spanish.
Oh, pardon, I didn't catch that. Pencils and inks were by Jack Kirby, with an assist on the inks from Roz Kirby, who is Jack's wife. Roz is still alive, as a matter of fact, but Jack has moved on to the great publisher in the sky.
He's publishing for God's comic now.
Yes.
Or not God's comic, depending on what you believe.
Right.
We had a conversation about this morning.
All right, so the Unmasked Archers opens with Green Arrow and Speedy in the Arrow car chasing after some bad guys. They're trying to stop the bad guy's car by firing arrows into the tire. And as they do, well, not they. Speedy is driving. Green Arrow is the one
doing the work,
twanging the arrows. Twang being
yes,
the sound effect.
Twang.
Green Arrow is indicating
it's an onomatopoeia.
Twang? Yes,
twang,
it is.
A word that...
I love that word.
Isn't it?
I love that word. Go ahead, Nick. What's onomatopoeia mean?
An onomatopoeia is a word that sounds like the
noise that it is describing.
Yes.
Like
it's
whack, smack,
boom,
thud.
Boom, bang,
boom,
pow.
Speaking of which, boom seems to be very popular. Have you noticed that it's all over commercials and stuff?
Yes, boom, with the spiky star thing around
just
it.
People, we'll just say the word boom somewhere. Because there's a commercial that I really like about that soft cheese. Have you seen that one? Where he goes at, where she asks him if the saleswoman was blonde.
Oh, the soft, it's like supposed to be gourmet soft cheese?
Yes. And she, at the end she says, good job, and he just turns to her and says, boom.
Yeah.
But because I like that commercial so much and the word, I've noticed that a lot of other commercials are using boom right
just
now.
Boom?
In different places. Yeah. So I don't know what it is about, but that's an onomatopoeia, just like the word twang.
Yes.
And now we haven't gotten to this yet, but here it's interesting you bring that up. Back in the early 2000s, Kevin Smith. Do you know Kevin Smith?
I know of him.
Okay. He relaunched Green Arrow.
Okay.
After Green Arrow had died and not had his own book in a while. The very first villain that version of Green Arrow had, that Kevin Smith created, the name of the villain, Onomatopoeia.
I want to meet this villain.
Because he never said anything, but if he did, it was a word that was what he had just done. Like he
that
blew
sounds
up,
so lame.
He blew up somebody, and while he was watching the explosion, a little word balloon, he said,
really?
Uh-huh.
Not no emotion, not
nope. flat.
Boom!
But yeah, his name was Onomatopoeia. He was one of those suits like we were talking about earlier.
The brute
suit. You
couldn't
see his face, but it had like circles on it. Just all over.
That's strange, but cool.
But yeah, so it's funny you should bring that up with us doing this. It turns out to... Yeah, so, okay.
Storyline.
So as Green Arrow is firing this arrow trying to stop the car, he indicates, "Our last arrow, Speedy, our last case." So, what was that?
You can't see my hand motions here.
But he did a motion, and in his head, he was going, bum, bum, bum.
Well, is this from, like, a famous play? Like,
who knows what that is? It's Bugs Bunny does it in a cartoon, but that's, you know. Yes, this is audio, so they can't. We don't have the video feed going, so they can't see.
We wish you could see the art right now.
Yeah,
I think we just need a soundboard because like every episode you say something like this. I'm gonna play dramatic music, but I don't have anything to.
No, we don't need to.
Just
we don't need to
or something.
Fetch up the podcast. That's okay. All right, we after that initial scene, the story cuts back to Oliver's. Meeting in a men's club, and he's being told by probably one of the current officers to remember that next meeting they're announcing the new officers, so be sure to be here. Mm-hmm. We see that Oliver and Roy are in their apartment. I think we've determined.
Yes, it looks like a penthouse, you know.
And they see the Green Arrow signal arrow. So they go and change. And on their way out, they see the most recent paper, that day's paper, I guess. And the headline indicates Green Arrow and Speedy identified two and the same. And it has two pictures, one of Green Arrow and Speedy, and one of Oliver Queen and Roy Harper right next to it. So,
same exact like style, too.
So apparently they're right. They figured out who they are. And so, you know, Green Arrow is like, well, you know, we'll go ahead and finish this most recent call from the police here. They ask for our help. But I guess after that, we'll have to hang it up because everybody knows who we are.
Bum, bum, bum.
Which I don't know why that means they have to stop.
Yeah, really.
It just means they have to be more careful. But so
I would just say move to a new city. City. I said city. City.
So they Green Arrow and Speedy head out. And we see them using some fan arrows to blow away smoke that bad guys have used to hide their car in as they're trying to get away. And having revealed the car and being able to see it, but one of them can't really tell because we just see the gloves, but they fire a fountain pen
arrow.
Well,
this one, I was going to say Speedy because...
Speedy's gloves are supposed to be yellow, but they appear red in some places. But these are red gloves, so we'll say Green Arrow.
Okay, yeah, Green Arrow did it.
And the way that the fountain pen arrow works is that it hooks onto the back bumper of the car and drags. And where it drags, the pen leaves a mark so that they can follow the line to where the car is.
I wouldn't have done it that way.
The lamer arrows that I've seen them have, but...
And you can find all these lame arrows in the arrow decks.
Tab on the website. It'll be one of the tabs.
The tab.
We only have one tab for arrows.
See, I would have like pinned the car to the ground or had some kind of Insta cement, you know, to spray the car with it and stuck it to
around the tires.
Melted the tires even.
Melted them, yeah.
You know, something like that.
So they have this pen now so that they can follow the car, but as the car's trying to get away, it's intercepted by the police, and so the bad guys have to screech to a halt anyways. Mm-hmm. The police get out and arrest them, and and Green Arrow and Speedy are like, well, you know, that finishes things up for us. That's pretty much the last we're going to do. So they head to police headquarters and unmask themselves because everybody knows who they are.
Yeah, it doesn't even matter now. So.
And the police commissioner kind of makes light of the fact. He's like, oh, Oliver and Roy just kind of messing with me and making fun. Well, have a good time, guys. Yeah. I hope that, you know, your party turns out okay and everything like that. And he says, oh, by the way, you know, again, don't forget that the new officers are being appointed at the men's club. So apparently the commissioner is a member too.
It would make sense.
So Oliver and Roy go home, and Oliver is checking out the paper some more and sees that there's not really anything else talking about them. So he figures out that, well, this must be a joke. Mm-hmm. And the reason, you know, and why somebody would be joking around right now is because we have these new officers being installed in the club there, and I bet somebody is just messing with me as part of my initiation. I guess he's one of the new officers. I mean, it never really says that.
Yeah, but I guess it makes sense that they would have to put him through an initiation for him to be a part of it.
Usually, you know, when you join a club of some sort, there's some kind of initiation or something you go through, some kind of hazing thing.
Speaking of which, it's an interesting one. There's junior devs at our school, and for a week they're not allowed to shower and they're not allowed to wash their clothes. But their clothes is a tie-dye shirt and a pair of sweatpants as an initiation.
Well, not washing the clothes isn't necessarily too bad, just depending on what you do. But not taking a shower is pretty gross for 5 days.
Yeah, it is.
Maybe a couple.
No makeup either, because it's only girls.
For 5 days. Well, I guess it'd be easy for guys to do then, wouldn't it?
Yeah, really. We wear that kind of stuff anyway.
Yeah, you don't wear makeup, and you know,
sometimes we don't take showers.
And, yeah. Okay, so we see that Green Arrow and Speedy are getting together some more arrows.
The boxing glove arrow, the fountain pen arrow, and the balloon arrow.
Yeah, so I'm trying to figure out exactly what they're doing next here. They've decided that they're going to use the fact that somebody is playing a trick on them to make sure that they don't figure out or think for real that Roy and Oliver are Speedy and Green Arrow.
And I mentioned this in a previous episode, the size of the boxing glove, it's an actual boxing glove that looks like it's actually on the end of an arrow instead of like a baseball-sized boxing glove on the Walking Away with Wood episode.
Right. Yeah.
And that's not as proportional. that's the only way I can think to refer to it.
Right. And not in a sexy way.
That's good.
Okay, so they...
I'm telling you, we need the sound effects board.
It's okay. They head out, or as they're getting ready to head out, they get a call, and it is the police commissioner calling Oliver and Roy.
Yes.
To tell them that there is some stuff going down, and that they should show up to apprehend the bad guys.
Dressed as
Green Arrow and Speedy.
Fake Green Arrow and Speedy.
Well, just Green Arrow and Speedy, because the commissioner knows that in Central City, whenever there's a crime, the real Green Arrow and Speedy always show up.
Yes.
So they're going to be there anyways. But he's telling Roy and Oliver that they should show up in costume also.
Mm-hmm.
Just to as like a funny thing, because then the real Green Arrow and Speedy and the fake Green Arrow and Speedy will be there at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
So now the guys are like, okay, now how can we take this and turn it to our favor? Because we need to make sure that the fake Green Arrow and Speedy and the real Green Arrow and Speedy both show up.
Yes.
That way they know that the real Green Arrow and Speedy is not Roy Harper and Oliver Queen.
Which they are. A lot to follow.
But they don't want them to
know. They don't want them to know. They want there's basically going to be two different Green Arrows and Speedies.
Right. Two different sets. And because they
even
want
though
to,
they're one and the same.
You know, of course, they have to be sure that, well, somebody's just messing with us, but we have to make sure that they don't find out for real that we are.
Yeah.
So that's a classic superhero thing.
Mm-hmm.
Iron Man's done it. Spider-Man's done it. Batman, Superman, you know, if you have the hero and the alter ego both show up at the same time, then obviously it can't be the same person.
Like Spider-Man does with his pictures.
Right.
He takes pictures of
Peter
Spider-Man.
Peter Parker is taking
pictures of Spider-Man.
So it must not be Spider-Man.
They can't be the same person.
Right. So.
Which obviously that's a lie.
So Green Arrow and Speedy show up, and they what it is the bad guys have stopped and are trying to rob a train full of
gold bullion. More of that gold.
It seems to be the only thing anybody's ever interested in.
It's their major export.
Gold bullion. So they arrive, and the police, the regular police, also have been notified that, you know, Oliver Queen and Roy Harper will show up mm-hmm. as Green Arrow and Speedy. And when they do, you know, tell them, you know, where the bad guys are. And, you know, well,
there's you can go try.
Because, yeah. you know, they don't expect them to stop the bad guys.
No, they're just a joke.
So Oliver Queen does and purposely misses firing his arrow. But really, he doesn't miss.
It makes it look like he's missing, but he's just capturing them a different way.
Right, but what happens is that his miss actually does end up catching them, but it does so in such a way that it's not in the public eye.
Right.
So they don't see that it was Oliver Queen's arrow that did it.
It makes it look like it was the actual Green Arrow who was planned on showing up who actually captured the bad guys.
Right. And then at the end of the story, it turns out that Speedy shot an arrow that looked just like the aeroplane.
Yes.
Leaving. So the police assumed that this trick thing that Oliver Queen did was the real Green Arrow's doing. And the real Green Arrow Speedy did it and left in the aeroplane.
Yes, and which was not actually the aeroplane, but the balloon arrow that I mentioned earlier that can be shaped into anything.
Right. So ultimately, the Oliver Queen and Roy Harper showed up, and they believe that the Green Arrow and Speedy actually captured the bad guys. So, in essence, as far as everyone is concerned, all four people showed up at the same time. Even though they never actually saw another Green Arrow and Speedy.
Yes.
They assumed that they had been there.
Because they had left in the, you can't see it, quote-unquote, aeroplane.
Right. So there we go.
Boys and girls, please give me a name. The Tootsie Bear. What did they end up naming the Tootsie Roll Bear?
I don't know. All right, so the next show up, the next book up, is Adventure Comics 252 from September of 1958. The story is The Mystery of the Giant Arrows, and this is scripted by Ed Herron with pencils and inks by Jack Kirby and an ink assist by Ross Kirby. And this is the first two-part story that we have run into.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the first part.
Okay, so the first thing up is Green Arrow and Speedy riding this not large arrow, gigantic, 50, 80 feet long,
almost
maybe.
Almost like the size of an airplane.
Yes, almost the size of an airplane, and they're kind of like riding it like a horse. And it has a cable on it being yanked somewhere.
Right, so they're being pulled back to
wherever
the arrow came from.
Yeah, because it was launched at Earth, and now they're riding it back to whoever launched it or whatever launched it or something. Then it goes down to the town where the city is freaking out because a gigantic arrow is coming toward their town. And, of course, you know, out of all the Earth, it has to come right there.
Of all the towns.
Of all the towns, all the places,
it hits their town.
And look up there, what is it? And I was thinking, is it a bird? Is it a plane? No, yeah, it's a giant red arrow.
That's a different book.
Yeah, I won't get into that, though.
There's three or four podcasts out there for him.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So they've probably already done
it. He's very popular.
Okay. Green Arrow and Speedy see that a giant arrow, it looks like on the TV, has crashed down into the water, but I think it's actually the street. They drive on over in their arrow car, use their catapult in the seats, launch themselves, and twirl cables around the arrow. And it looks like they're just trying to keep it suspended so it doesn't fall and crush buildings and people. Because there's no way they could have gotten there in time to keep it from hitting the ground. Everybody says, yay, yay, but do you hear music that sounds like musical thunder? And I thought that was a cool concept. It's another one of those gigantic arrows shooting through the city, playing music and breaking glass. Green Arrow and Speedy, you know, they cover their ears with cotton and they drive under the arrow, wrapping it in a cocoon arrow. They use a cocoon arrow, and it silences the music because it kind of has speakers on the side of the arrow. The arrow, at this point, isn't dangerous because of the sound, but is still probably a couple thousand-pound arrow, maybe, heading toward a giant freighter. Yes, a freighter.
Looks like it's going to hit a freighter out in the harbor now. Which probably not originally, but when they wrapped it with their cocoon arrow, it probably threw it off.
Yes.
And so now it's headed for this freighter.
It's going to hit it, and it's going to crash the freighter. So Green Arrow thinks quick, and he pulls out a jet arrow. I think that's right. Yes, a jet arrow. And he hits it at very, very fast speeds. I see a twang, a clang, like it's clang-g. How would you pronounce that?
Clang.
Yeah,
okay.
And kawash. So that's more of those onomatopoeias for you.
And now the arrow's as big as the boat.
Yes, the arrow's as big as the boat, or bigger.
Yeah.
So if that the freighter's going to go down if the jet arrow hits it. The jet arrow hits it just enough to knock it maybe a couple yards to the side of the boat and just barely missing it.
Right.
So Green Arrow and Speedy are driving away. They're telling each other, good job. And they're afraid that all these arrows coming toward the city are going to hurt the civilians because it's a populated area, which is what we were talking about.
Right, and they're so big and everything. I mean, you know, there's any number of places that one of these arrows could just land that would end up hurting people.
Mm-hmm. They still have the original arrow suspended from the cables I told you about, and everybody is standing around it, and they look up, and they see looks like a golden arrow that's on fire, which I thought that was probably the coolest ones of the ones being launched. Green Arrow and Speedy hop up in their aeroplane from their aero car, and they're driving along this gigantic flaming arrow, and all of a sudden, it changes its course, it being the arrow, changes its course and explodes in the sky like an enormous Roman candle, is how it's described. Lots of flaming pieces and bits are falling, and Green Arrow says, wow, we need to break up these parts, or flaming metal and hot pieces of rubble are going to hit and possibly injure civilians, so he shoots up a firecracker arrow, breaks them into little pieces, so they're harmless by the time they get to the city.
Right. Shoots. Probably just like some of the bigger pieces.
Yes.
There's no way he could have hit all the pieces.
No. Probably just the bigger ones that didn't explode as well.
Right.
They're flying in their aeroplane. They get a message from Professor Riggles calling them to his observatory. They go straight there. Professor Riggles is your classic scientist, you know, bald on top, fluffy at the sides. Which I didn't mean flat.
That's his hair, by the way.
Yeah, I didn't mean fat, fluffy. I meant hair. And he's got this telescope?
An observatory, so yeah.
Yeah, so his telescope. And you see the outline of two archers with bows. Because they had to specify that. They have the outline of people, but they don't look like people.
They're humanoid.
Yes, but they're strange looking. Green Arrow realizes that he's about to shoot a cable arrow. So as soon as he lets the cable arrow go, it hits the earth.
Right.
So it's like live. It's not delayed or anything. He goes outside and sees the cable arrow laying on the ground, which I'm surprised it didn't stick in the ground. It kind of laid flat.
Yeah. Bad shot.
Mm-hmm. He, you know, with a target as big as Earth, I'm surprised you would miss like that. He goes to the cable arrow And like I said, this thing is huge, like 100 or more feet long, maybe. They see the cable attached to it, and Green Arrow says, hop on, we're going to stand on it trying to figure out where it came from. The next thing you know, the humanoids are yanking on the cable, pulling the arrow back up to where the arrow was launched from. So, what happens is these humanoid figures shoot the arrow through a different dimension to Earth. And they're children just playing around, having a good time. I thought it was, well, what is it? How does it even end? Oh, that's right. This is the one that is to be continued.
Right.
So Green Arrow and Speedy are on this planet with the giants.
Right, in this in other
a, in, a di- in a different dimension, and we don't know what will happen until next time.
Right.
I was getting into it, and I was going to tell you what happened next, but I don't know.
The title, perhaps, of the next issue is The Prisoners of Dimension Zero.
Yes.
So it's hard to say if that will actually turn out to be the title of the next story. But
I forgot that this was the one that
that's what it says here.
Didn't finish up, because I was ready to tell you guys what had happened next, and
but
if they got it, but we don't know.
That's all.
Yeah.
That's all we got.
Kind of let me down, even though I've already read it. Okay.
So, okay, we've... our third book is World's Finest, issue 99. Came out in February 1959, and we are looking at the third story, which is the Green Arrow story, and it's entitled Crime Under Glass.
This was an interesting
crimes,
one.
Excuse me.
Yes, Crimes.
Crimes Under Glass. And the script is by a new person here. We've got a Robert Bernstein, who's credited with the script. Pencils and inks by Jack Kirby, again with an assist on inks by Roz Kirby. And the story opens with Green Arrow and Speedy running to the scene of some sort of crime and running up against what, not literally up against, but as they're running, they're confronted by a couple guys that look to be giant size, like maybe 1.5 or maybe twice the size of Green Arrow and Speedy. And we see that that's just the splash page. The story opens with several bad guys up on top of this building holding a lens. And what they're doing is they're using this giant lens to direct sunlight in through the window of this room so that the sunlight lands on a safe and melts the door of the safe so that they can then steal what's in the safe. Interesting that the heat ray doesn't burn what's in the safe.
Yeah, that's exactly
it
what I was thinking.
Just melts the door.
They probably already robbed all the gold bullion from those boats.
Probably.
Now they just want money.
So doing this messing with the safe, these particular bad guys turn out to trigger the alarm for the building where they're at. The alarm signals the police, and the police fire off their flaming green arrow for Green Arrow and Speedy to see, who change and head to the scene of the crime. Using their arrow car catapult, they shoot up to the top of a building just in time to see the bad guys boarding a helicopter trying to get away. They both fire arrows at the rope ladder that the bad guys are using, breaking the ladder so that they can't get away, and also shooting an arrow to grab back from the bad guys the bag that they had, which they either stole or put what they stole in.
Yeah, because he says, there goes the money from the safe.
The money, okay, yeah, that's right.
Satchel, not a bag.
Not a bag, a satchel.
Satchel.
Touché.
Satchel's a cooler.
The helicopter then extends a series of lenses around itself that make itself appear invisible, or like hides parts of it.
Yeah.
To where then you only see pieces of the helicopter. So it makes it look like the whole helicopter broke into pieces.
Mm-hmm. Which is very good.
And
I like that.
It's an interesting, yeah. Rather than just turning invisible, it breaks up the helicopter. copy.
Yeah.
While this is going on, while Green Arrow and Speedy are distracted because the helicopter is doing this, it also lowers another rope ladder. The bad guys climb up into the helicopter, and everybody escapes with the satchel, I guess.
What?
I guess they got the satchel back.
No, Green Arrow's sitting there holding it.
Oh, yeah, they're holding it. Okay, so they didn't get away with the money, but they did get away. Mm-hmm. Green Arrow and Speedy take a second and wonder, don't their masks look weird?
They not right.
Yeah, I know. They wonder, you know, what this new menace is, what they did to that helicopter to make it
pieced.
Break up like
yes.
that. Later on, in the next cut in the story, we see a money transfer being taken into an armored vehicle that looks more like a tank.
And it looks like it has some gold bullion on the inside.
An armored truck, it probably does. The bad guys are getting ready to rob it. They're putting on masks to make themselves look ugly. But then also they're using a lens to make themselves look giant, just like the initial splash page in the story was.
It's just like a giant piece of a magnifying glass.
Right, yeah. So the security guards surrender the money because they're surrounded now. They've got giants on one side, and the regular bad guys come up behind them to get the money. So they take the money and climb up on top of this building to get into a...
They call it something other than an air balloon.
Yeah, a dirigible.
A dirigible. Dirigible. Gondola.
Yeah.
Whatever that is. I guess
so,
it's just an air balloon.
As they're climbing up into this, Speedy and Green Arrow get up to the top of the building, and they're about to try to stop them at first, but the guys on the dirigible use a lens that breaks the light up into like the rainbow,
mm-hmm.
the light rainbow, and shine that on Speedy and Green Arrow, blinding them so that they can't see.
Which this isn't the first time that they've been blinded by a rainbow. The Rainbow Archer also did it
yeah.
in his book.
So I wonder if that's their weakness.
Rainbows.
They have a weakness to rainbows in the eyes.
It's their kryptonite.
Yeah. So they kind of, whatever, they stop shooting this, or the lens changes, or they step to the side or something. But next, they take what appear to be, or not appear to be, but they take ink arrows.
To me, it looks like it's just a little container of ink, because the outside looks like glass. Then whatever it'll hit, the glass will break and the ink will come out.
Ink will come out and cover it. So they shoot that at this new lens, and it covers it with ink, and so then it doesn't work anymore. But also, they bring the dirigible down somehow.
I think
they
because
puncture
the,
it with regular arrows. It says
and is,
a swift flurry of arrows punctures.
Well, if
craft.
You look all over it,
yeah,
it's just covered in them.
So they take it down. It collapses onto the building that they're on. They fire off a siren arrow to summon the police. And then during the, you know, the follow-up or the cleanup or everything, they find this lens that the bad guys were using to make themselves appear as giants, and they kind of play with it a little bit. Green Arrow and Speedy are in there looking giant.
Yeah. The end.
And so there's the end of
World's
story,
Finest 99.
Issue. Yes. So, all in all, what'd you think of those three?
Okay, I think that... I forgot what they were about. This last one that we read was my second favorite, because the concept of using light and science instead of blunt force and guns to break down Green Arrow and Speedy. I'm saying that the big arrow, the mysterious giant arrows, is that one, what it was called?
Yeah, that would be the
that's
the
adventure.
Mystery of the Giant Arrows.
Okay, the Mystery of the Giant Arrows. That one right now is my third and least favorite because I don't know how it ends yet.
Okay.
And then the Unmasked is probably my favorite because someone pulled a prank on Green Arrow.
Yeah, that one was
initiation.
It made sense and everything when you read it, but trying to describe it was pretty tough.
Yeah.
Because you had the real and the fake Green Arrow and Speedy, but the fake actually were the real. And
yeah, so, it's just if you read it, you'd understand it a lot better.
Yeah, it makes. I mean, it's not confusing at all when you read it.
It makes sense in your head. But yes, I'm excited to read the second part, The Prisoners of
Dimension Zero.
I'm excited to see how that one ends.
The art is still pretty much staying the same,
mm-hmm,
Jack
consistent.
Kirby. It's good in places. I really don't like it in places. It just lacks kind of. But it is at least consistent.
Mm-hmm.
All of these stories, the stories that we talked about last episode, and so, you know, now I'm kind of in a place where I'm used to the art. And mm-hmm. it doesn't distract me or anything. I can read the story and, you know, so.
Right.
As far as the change in the scripter, I haven't checked our next batch of books to see if this Robert Bernstein does any of those. But I didn't necessarily get a different feel from him than I did from Ed Harrin. He used mobsters.
Mm-hmm.
He used a gimmick, the lenses. They didn't really use it in some kind of, you know, way out there or freaky kind of way. Magnifying lens.
Yeah.
Magnifying to create the hot sun beam,
mm-hmm.
The rainbow lens. You know, it all made sense as far as what lenses do. So, to me, there didn't seem to be much difference between a lot of the other stories we've read, so I wouldn't necessarily have been able to tell that it was somebody else writing it.
Yeah, unless you had
is my point.
Read
so,
it, known.
Next episode we've got lined up. We kind of threw off our sequence here. So next episode we're going to be talking about Adventure Comics issues 253, 254, and 255. So
plus, I'm still excited to see how the
253 will be the second part of the Giant Archers in Another Dimension story.
That's, I want to see. Because if the kids are that big, I mean, the kids were tall.
Yeah, what are the parents like?
Yeah. Or more, what's the Shaq of their world? How big is he?
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
Like, to 60? Or no, because the arrows were like 50 or 80. So how big is the Shaq of their world? Like 100, 200?
Yeah, man, he's got to be large.
Yeah.
All right, guys. I think that's everything that we were wanting to get out to you guys this episode. If you do want to give us any feedback, you can email us at earth1emeraldarcher@gmail.com, and that's the number one.
All one word.
comicbooknoise.com/emeraldarcher, which is one word also, is the website. We do have a
Facebook page.
Fan page on Facebook where we will post notice that the new shows have gone up.
We'll post when we are sitting down recording it like I did about an hour ago.
So we got that. And then please, some of you guys, if you do download us from iTunes, take a second, leave us an iTunes review. It helps other people find us, and it helps us know that, you know, there are people listening. We kind of suspect that there are, but if we're not getting any feedback, we don't really know for sure. But, you know, I mean, we don't do it necessarily just to get feedback. We like talking about this. But it'd be cool if, you know, somebody else had some other cool observations or little info tidbits to pass to us or stuff like that.
Yeah, if we're doing anything that you think we should change or improve on, you just let us know. We won't feel insulted or anything.
Right. Yeah, we'll see what we can do to give you the kind of stuff that you'll enjoy so that you listen to or keep listening to the show also. Do want to thank Mr. Derek Coward. He's the brains behind the tech kind of stuff as far as the posting of the episodes and everything like that. So we appreciate that, Derek. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. And that's all that we have today for the show. So I guess we're going to head out, and we will talk to you guys again next time.
All right. Later, guys.
Talk to you guys later. This is a Teal Production.